Beauty will save the world. This is a line by Dostoevsky, by his novel, The Idiot. And it's a line that has been quoted often by the popes. Pope St. John Paul II quoted this line, recently Pope Francis, beauty will save the world. What kind of beauty? What does it mean? I know that I look for beauty when I go to church. I love Gothic cathedrals, classical sacred music, stained glasses, a good hymn, hopefully a good homily. I look for that. Is that the beauty that will save the world? The same question was asked by Isaiah in today's first reading. It's the third section of the prophet Isaiah, which was written around the time the Israelites came back from exile. They had been conquered by the Babylon armies, taken into exile. They had destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And the people of Israel spent decades as slaves in Babylon until Cyrus, king of Persia, conquered Babylon and allowed the Jewish people to return. They went back to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the city, restored the temple. They began again to worship. They went back to their beautiful liturgies and singing and psalms and so forth. Isaiah asks them, is this what the Lord wants from you, from us? And he answers, no. He says, if you share your bread with the hungry, if you shelter the oppressed and the homeless, if you clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your neighbor, then your light will shine. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry, satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you. What is the beauty that will save the world? It's the beauty of kindness, of compassion, of mercy, the works of mercy. Paul, somehow in the second reading, says the same thing. He says, when I came to you to preach the gospel, I was not going to use beautiful words, eloquent speech, elegant homilies. No, nothing like that. You will not be convinced by the beauty of my words. Instead, I will preach only Christ crucified, the beauty of a God who had compassion for us. And that love, that mercy, that compassion brought him to the cross. That's what convinces the world about the gospel. That's the beauty that will save the world. And Jesus, in the gospel, as we heard, challenges his disciples. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And he says, let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and give glory to your heavenly Father. Actually, the original Greek text is a lot more elegant, more appealing, provocative. It says, and I quote, may others see your beautiful works, not good works, but beautiful works, kala erga in Greek, beautiful works. That's the beauty that will save the world. Doing something beautiful in terms of mercy, compassion, love, service of others. Actually, Something Beautiful for God is the title of a documentary, of a 1969 documentary about Mother Teresa. I think it was what brought Mother Teresa to the attention of the world. Malcolm Muggeridge was a BBC reporter, journalist, very well known for his biting wit and satirical style. He was an agnostic, and he was assigned to Calcutta. And as he was there, he heard about this tiny Catholic nun doing wonderful things for the pariah, for the low caste of Indian society. He decided to go to pay her an unannounced visit, see what she was doing, she was up to. He found her serving in an impoverished hospital in a dark room, tending the dying and the sick. He immediately realized that filming there would not have been good. There was not enough light. He invited the nun to step outside, but she would not leave her dying and her sick. And so he filmed anyway and asked her, "What are you doing here?" And she answered, "Something beautiful for God," which became the title of the documentary. When he went back to his studio, Malcolm Muggeridge realized that the quality of the film was actually good. There was enough lighting in that place, but strangely, it seemed like the light was coming from that nun. A light was emanating from her. And what was the beauty that he saw there? What was the something beautiful she was doing there? Caring for the sick, having compassion for the afflicted, exactly what Isaiah had said. That's the beauty that will save the world. We are called to be light of the world, salt of the earth. What will make of us truly witnesses of the gospel? What is the beauty that we can bring to the world? Not just our speeches and our liturgies, our beautiful songs for sure. All of these, our cathedrals, of course, the incredible works of art, of course as well, but the beauty that will convince the world, the way we will be salt of the earth and light of the world, is through works of mercy, is through kindness, through compassion. Salt makes food tasty. It makes it good, not necessarily for your health. And if you are keeping a salt-free diet, I'm sure you don't like that insipid food, right? We are meant to make the world a spicy and tasty place to live. We usually associate spiciness with Las Vegas, with life in the fast lane. But we know, don't we, that those who live that kind of life in the end live a very dull and insipid life. What makes life really spicy? Holiness. I believe that the saints are the ones who make life spicy and tasty. Not Spice Girls. Saints. Salt, especially in ancient world, also had another important quality. It preserved food. We take for granted refrigeration. But in the ancient world, most food could be preserved only by salt. Salt was a rare commodity back then, so much so that when the Romans paid their soldiers, by the way, soldiers comes from salt, soldatus, and they received a salary, also salary is a word that comes from salt. They received a bag of salt. It was so precious that they were paid also with salt. And it was precious because it did not allow good things to go bad. Now we also are called to be salt of the earth. We are called in a world of many things gone wrong, marked by violence, hatred, corruption, selfishness, and so forth. We are called to preserve generosity, kindness, love, and service. We must be like salt and insinuate ourselves in every nook and cranny of the world to act as preserving agents for what is good, what is true, what is beautiful. Salt has another quality to it, almost the opposite of what I just said. Salt can be a destructive and corrosive element. When I used to live in the north, in New York, during the winter months, we had to spread salt every day. I knew that if I did not wash my car frequently, I would lose it in short order. Salt can preserve, but salt can also compromise and destroy. And we must be salt also in that way. We must get in the way, criticize, undermine things that are inimical to God's purpose. The church must also be on the offensive. We must go after it. One last point I'd like to make about salt. Salt disappears. You put it in your food, but when you eat it, you don't want to chew on a rock of salt, right? In the same way, light, attention to it. Go into a nice room and say, oh, look at the lamps. You see things because of the light, but you don't stare the light. And that's how we are also meant to be. We are supposed to be salt and light, serve and disappear. Not call attention on ourselves, not expect an applause. That's why Jesus says, let them see your beautiful works and give glory not to you, but to the Father. Let us pray today that we may truly discover that beauty will save the world. Not the beauty only of our churches and liturgies, but the beauty of a life spent at the service of others. The beauty of the works of mercy. Amen.